and it was like awkwardly quiet, and I was like, talk, guys, talk. And now everyone's talking. Now we'll go ahead and start, also because we have rehearsal at like 3:45, so I want to try to jump in. My name's Cleanne, for most of you that may not know. I know about half of you guys. I'm from New Life Church. Okay, well, that doesn't help. I've found out there's like 8 of New Life churches here. The coastal, what are we now? We're not Hampton Roads. We're Coastal Virginia. That's going to be new to me. I've been there for 20 years. Fun times. I started playing instruments and leading worship at around 17. I'm a couple years off of 30 now, so you can decide what that means. And yeah, I absolutely love it. I learned how to lead worship in my youth group, and then which is at the same church I've been at, and then kind of grew up in that, went to YWAM, which is a missions organization, if anybody knows it. It's awesome. I was there for 4 years, led worship there, was on staff, then came back and continued to do the same thing. And so, yeah, it's been awesome. How many of you guys are in elementary ministry? Cool, cool. Youth ministry? Young adults? Ooh, yes, there it is, the tattoos. You know it. And maybe some of us are like all this girl right here. And so it's awesome. It looks different for everybody. I wanted to kind of just throw out 4 to 5 different points today, and then hopefully we have a couple times if you guys have questions, or if you have questions while I'm talking, you can do that too. And so I personally love student ministry. Some people tell me it's because I'm a child, and that could be true. That could be true. I don't know. But I do enjoy having fun and just getting in there with kids. One thing when I was talking downstairs about navigating all of what this looks like, I think it's probably the most important, because when we're not here, they're all going to be here. And whatever we teach them now is kind of what they got. And if we don't do it, then the world will teach them in the world of music and worship. And so that's why I personally love it. So let me jump in. The first thing I wanted to talk about is that no student ministry is going to look the same. I know oftentimes we can go to different conferences and go to different places and jot down all these notes and then take it back home, and we're like, well, that didn't work. and it could just basically be because your student ministry looks like this circle over here, but this person's coming from a triangle youth ministry, and it's not all gonna fit. It's not a one size fit all. And so just to encourage you in that, even, and I wanted to put that at the beginning, because I don't want you guys to take a bunch of notes and then get back home and be like, man, that didn't work. No matter what you get from this conference or wherever you go, take a little bit of it, see if it works. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe you'll change it up. Maybe you have to take something of what I said and tweak it a little bit to work with your grouping of students. But just kind of keep that in mind. There's no like one trick for everything. And so I know that's helped me a little bit, because in the beginning, I've worked in youth ministry for 11 years. And in the beginning, it's like, oh, I'm going to do what they did. And then I did it. And my students were like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, you don't like that? Okay. And so just kind of keep that in your mind. And the second point would be, you have to know your students. You have to know your students. You can, I helped with this, it's a school called Bethel. Not the Bethel in California. It's just another school called Bethel. And there, the way we did worship there, their students were like all in from the get-go. Like, you sing Jesus. And they were like, ooh, yes, let's go. Yes, I'm ready. And for them, they can pick the songs, like I said earlier, Fire Fall Down. And they know that their students are gonna go for it. But if you come to my youth group and my friend Ray over here, we sing that song and our students are like, and you're like, lift your hand, and they're like, And so, but we have to know our students. You have to know where they're at in their lives. You have to know how they're processing. Get to know their background. Get to know how they view worship, how they view music. For me personally, my sister and four children just moved in my house. It was just me by myself, and now there's five extra people, an 18-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 4-month-old. Yeah, take that in. This right here, this moment, hold on, wait. This is as quiet as my life will ever be, forever and ever and ever. But my the 12-year-old, they just moved from New York, and she has no grid for church, no grid for God. And they like to come to church with me, though, for whatever reason. And she goes, one day we're heading home, and she goes, "Oh, I like when you guys were performing the songs. I love to," she likes to put her headphones on and watch YouTube while we're singing the songs. And I was like, okay. So it's things like that. You can have a person like my niece who has, as far as she's only known concerts and just worldly music. And to her, you know, from the platform, I could be singing to her and think, oh, she hates me. But really, she just has no idea what we're doing. But then you can take another kid who's absolutely going for it. And so it's just this matter of kind of knowing them. And then to build on that point is building trust with them. Let them know that you know them. Let them know that you, not only do you know them, but they can follow your example. They're not going to follow somebody that they don't trust. So if they trust you, then they're more inclined to follow you. But if they don't trust you, and if they don't know you, I mean, if I don't know somebody, I'm not just going to be like, oh, you said that there's this dude in the sky and he loves me, and if I sing this song, I'm going to encounter him. I don't know that what you're saying is true because I don't know you. But if you get to know them and build that relationship and build that trust, they'll begin to follow you and just follow you in that. And then another thing about this generation in particular is that they can spot when you are being real and when you are not being real. That probably is the biggest, biggest, biggest thing. Oh, my goodness. Somebody earlier in the conference, they said, when the worship leader's having a bad day, you know it. It's like, oh, okay. We're going to worship with you. We're going to get there. And so in the way of kids ministry, let's say something's going, life has hit the fan, and you're up there, and you're faking it till you make it, they can spot it. They can spot it sometimes quicker than adults can, because adults are like, woo, I'm ready, let's go. You say, go, and I'm going to go. Kids are like, I'm trying to figure out what you're doing, okay? Ooh, you look like you're just not into it right now, so I'm not going to be into it because you're not into it. And that's what this generation is trained to do. They're trained to spot fake. It's everything that this generation is about. It's almost like they're taught not to really trust anything until they can figure it out themselves. And so my encouragement is to be real. You know, there's been plenty of times where I'm leading worship and I'm like, guys, at our church we have lots of things to do, as probably most of you guys that work on staff at a church. There's always something to do. And so there's been times where I'm like, guys, I am so tired today. But in the midst of my tiredness, God just told me that he's worth it. He's worth it even when I'm tired. And that moment where I chose to be real with them, they're like, oh, okay. And then I continue, and I'm like, maybe your mom has stressed you out today. Maybe your schoolwork is stressing you out, and you're honestly just not into worship today. That's okay, because it's a safe place. But let me encourage you. I'm right there with you. And this right here, this moment, is the safest place you can ever be tired and be in the presence of God. And so I'm going to worship through my tiredness today, this morning, or tonight, or whatever it is. But join in with me, guys. Join in with me. Why? Because he's worthy. And there's so many dynamics that just happened in that moment. One, you were real, and they're like, oh. And in the midst of you being real, you taught them how to worship through the real life circumstances that happen. You don't have to try to fake it and just be like, all right, well, let's get through this worship set. Hopefully they sing a couple songs with me. If not, we'll try again next week. Be real. Be honest. Yeah, I literally wrote that down. Don't be afraid to be real with them. Vulnerability makes you relatable. In my breakout, somebody put, this is more young adults, but I think it goes for everybody. Young adults are deeply craving connection and transcendence. Young adults are looking for something or someone beyond themselves. And that is so, so, so true. It's so, so true. It's what they're all craving for right now. I put a couple in the midst of this. I put a couple of practical points, kind of going back to how I was just given that example of what you could do in the midst of worship. Explain worship to your kids. Kind of going back to the example I gave earlier, where you can have a super deep, intense set, and there's a group of students that'll go for it, and there's a group of students that probably won't. I just put explain worship to your kids, and here's what I mean by this. Especially in elementary ministry, we had a VBS recently, and we decided it would be a really awesome idea to put 300 children in a room that. I'm trying to be accurate here. Maybe if you push that back wall a little bit farther back, but not really, because we had them contained in a certain area. So honestly, it was like a space this size, and they're all going crazy. And it's like in that moment, you're like, we did like a fast song and upbeat, which I'll get to that in a second. And then we got to the slower songs, and of course, they're all hyped, and elementary kids are elementary kids, and they're just so excited to talk to each other and pick each other's boogers. And so it's really awesome to compete with it. But we stopped, and we were singing a song, Your Love Never Fails. That's what it was. And in that moment, I could have chosen to say, well, let me just get through this song, because they're all super hyped up, and at least they engaged in the first song and danced and did everything that I would have loved. But I chose to stop. There's a line in it that says, and I never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing remains. We all know that song. With that line. And we did the whole song, but I chose to pull out one line. And sometimes, this is just kind of another practical point, maybe you're going through the song, and they're elementary. I have an elementary year old in my house. I can talk to her for like 5 minutes before she asks me about something that I told her 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, what in the world? But what I did was I just pulled out one line when we got to it. I think I did maybe the first verse, a chorus, and then wherever that line is. I never ever have to be afraid. One thing. What is that? Is that the bridge or the chorus? What is that? Bridge, chorus. Oh, man, all these songs start sounding the same after a while. Whatever part it was, I just split the song in half. I didn't do the whole thing. I think I did maybe the chorus. And then wherever that line is, that I never, ever have to be afraid, and I just stopped and I quieted them all down. Because you have about... With middle school and high school youth, you have a little bit longer. With elementary, you kind of got to grab them for like, you got like, that's pushing it. But if you really got them, you got them like 2 minutes. So for those 2 minutes, I literally unplugged my guitar and I got down and I said, guys, anybody ever been afraid in their room? And I found something immediately applicable to them. Most kids are afraid of the dark. I'm honestly still a little bit afraid of the dark. It's just way too dark. It's unnecessary. We are the light. And so, you see what I did there? And I got down and I said, guys, anybody afraid of the dark? And they're all like, yeah. And immediately now they're all with me. They're tracking because they're like, ooh, you're relating with me. I'm here because I'm listening to those words, but I'm not, but I am, but I'm not. How many fingers do I have? Hey, are you afraid of the dark? And they're like, oh, I'm afraid of the dark. And I said, there's a line in this song that we just sang that says, I never ever, ever have to be afraid. And they're like, what? And literally, it's probably the quietest the room had gotten the whole worship time. And I was like, guys, maybe that line's hard to believe because when you're in the dark, it's so, so scary. But you know what this song says? The title of this song, it's One Thing Remains, but we all get it confused with Your Love Never Fails, so let's not get into the semantics. I said this song is called Your Love Never Fails, and it's talking about God's love and how it never fails. And so even sometimes when you're, let me help you out, when you're in your room and maybe you're sitting on your bed and it's nighttime, but the lights are off and you're feeling super, super afraid, you know what you can do? You can sing this one part of the song. Maybe it's dark and you're like, oh, I'm so scared. My mom's sleeping. All you have to do is go, and I never, ever have to be afraid. Come on, sing it with me, guys. And I never, ever. That was in the example. But, ooh, let's do it. Let's do it one more time. And I never, ever have to be afraid. And literally the whole room of kids is singing this line. And just like that, they're worshiping. And they don't even know it. And I'm like, oh, yes, come on, worship. And so I say that to the little practical things. Sometimes we're like, okay, well, we're doing this song. Man, I don't know how I'm going to get them to understand this whole verse or this whole chorus. Sometimes you'll go through the verse and pull a line out of the chorus that they can understand. And for that 2 minutes that you have their undivided attention, you grab it and you use something applicable and then guide them into maybe singing that verse or that line or whatever it is. And just like that, one, you've taught them how to use it when they leave you, which is the most important. I don't want them to just do it in church. I want them to know the same thing that we teach adults, that we teach ourselves. Worship goes with you all throughout life. Worship is applicable when you walk outside of this building. So when you come in here and we're singing these songs, yes, it's worship. But when you're in your, I'll use the same example, when you're in your room and you're afraid, and you just feel afraid. Maybe there's monsters under the bed or whatever it is. You can say, God, I know that your love doesn't fail me. So I know that I never ever have to be afraid. And it's planting seeds in their heart. And it may not look like that in the moment, because sometimes our version of an encounter looks like the fire is falling down and the drummer fell out. And the speakers caught fire, and we're all running around speaking in tongues, which that's a version of it. But sometimes a radical encounter for a kid can look like in that moment they're singing, I never, ever have to be afraid. And kids remember everything. They remember everything. Even when you don't think they do, they do. Don't promise 7-year-olds anything. They will ask you many, many months later. But they remember it. And so when they're in their room and it's dark, they're going to sing that chorus. You may not know it, and you don't have to know it. It's not for us to see the fruit of. Just know that you're planting a seed, and you're trusting that the Lord is watering it in the secret place that we don't know about. Maybe they go home and they teach their parents that, and their parents didn't even think of it that way. And so just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Ooh, what am I doing? Yes, good timing. Let's go, Clee. Point number three. This is a point, but it's like a long point. Keep in mind this generation and how they view music and how they view certain verbiage that we use. Because they process things, and they've been taught to process things super differently. I gave a couple examples here. I'll get back to the verbiage, but how they view music. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to sing it because we're going to be singing it for the rest of the day if I do. But all I'm going to say is Baby Shark. That's all I'm going to say. You get that on, it's upbeat. Kids don't even know the song. They're like even I've seen kids hear it for the first time, and they're like, ooh, yes, ooh, yes. Yes, yes, because that's how they've grown up. You get a song like that, and you start moving. And so use that to your advantage. You want to get kids up and moving, get you a funky playing song, and they're gonna move. I know in another example for our youth group, we have some kids who love to like hip hop dance, and they're actually really good at it. And sometimes we'll be, whether it's the beginning of the service or whenever it is, we'll just throw on like an instrumental of like a super like hit, like poppy song, and you give it like 2 seconds and they're like dance battling in the corner. And so to get them engaged, use it to your advantage. Use the way that this generation views music to your advantage. And then the second thing is the verbiage. We have songs like Good Good Father. Not everybody knows what a good, good father is. We use songs like Only You Can we say things like Only You Can Satisfy, which to me, I sing that once and I'm crying. Anybody that knows me, I cry all the time when I lead worship. It's a thing. I'm working on it. I don't know why it happens. I think it's because I love the Lord. So to me, I sing that and I'm like, oh God, yes, Only You Can Satisfy. But to them, they're like, what is satisfaction? Like, what does that even mean? Like, I don't know if they have no grid for it. I put another one, I put my trust in you. That's such a simple term. But maybe they could never have trusted somebody. Their mom left them. They don't know their dad. Their aunt takes care of them, but she only does it for money. I put my trust in you means nothing. Means nothing. So when you're either on the platform, if you're a worship leader or you're a volunteer or you're a director and you're trying to make the service go and you're like, why, what is going on? They don't know. This generation was an article. It says that they're the most like disconnected generation so far. And so keep those things in mind. Keep in mind this, what they're going through and where they come from. And I just wrote, always keep in mind that these are potentially foreign concepts to them. To me, I live it. We eat it. We breathe it. It's what we do. But to them, the maybe 1 to 2 times a week that you meet with them, that's the only time that they are learning this. And so don't be discouraged if, and maybe some of your groups are awesome and they sing out the songs. But for the ones who don't, or maybe it's a struggle to get them to focus or anything, even elementary, maybe they just don't know what it means. And so kind of keep that in mind as we go. And kind of to add on to that, one thing we've been, Pastor Dan, who's my senior pastor, he uses this term lex orandi, lex credendi, which is as we worship, so we believe. And so what when we're singing these things, good, good father, only you can satisfy, I put my trust in you and all of the lot, we're forming them. How we're worshiping is forming how we believe. And so they're learning, if I could put it this way, they're learning what they believe. In that moment, they're learning what they believe. And so walk with them. Be patient. Be patient with them as you're singing Good, Good Father, just as an example. And they're like, they're singing it, but they don't seem like they're like going for it. They're mulling through in their head. Good Father, okay. I've heard 1,000 stories of what you're like, but I know. Like, they're trying to like figure it out as they sing it. And so just be patient with your students. That's not a point, but you can put it as a point. Be patient with them, because this could be foreign concepts that you are the ones teaching them. And some, for some, their parents are at home reinforcing it, but for some, they're not. So that literally is the 2 times a week that they get this in them. Another thing I put is under this point is this generation is a generation of repeating. They're okay with repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Baby Shark, over and over and over and over and over. And it's like, guys, how many times can you listen to this song? But literally. But they're a generation of repeating. It's how they get it in their system. They're okay with listening to the same song a million times. There's some students that'll walk by me and I'll look at their iPod with their headphones in and the song's playing. I'll come back an hour later and the same song is playing and they're like trying to get the lyrics down so that they can rap it without the headphones in. It's how they are. And so for me, I use that to my advantage. I'll play don't be afraid to play it. And I have this written in here somewhere, so I'll just jump to it. Don't be afraid to play the same songs. I know on Sunday morning for the adult congregation, we're like, oh, don't repeat it too many times. They're tired of singing it. But for kids, it's not the case. They need to hear it like 3 to 4 times. Because that's how they get it in their system, is repeating it, hearing it over and over and over again. One kind of practical point, maybe for elementary, I don't get to get in with our elementary kids as much, but if I did, one thing I would do is maybe you do, I'll use the same, good father. You do that 1 week, then the second week you do it again, then the third week you stop in the middle of the song, and this goes back to a point earlier where you're stopping to explain, you're taking moments, and you're like, who remembers how to sing this chorus before you even get into it? And the kid comes up, and they're like, you're a good father. And you're like, awesome. What does that mean to you? And they'll give whatever answer. And then you take that answer, and maybe you take a moment to preach or give explanation off of that answer, and then you go, that was so awesome. Let's all sing that chorus one more time as we go into whatever is coming up next. And you just stop to take those moments. And then maybe the following week, now they're all charged, especially if it's elementary. They're like, ooh, she went up. She got to hold the mic. Ooh, let me think of what it means to me. Then the next one, you got like 20 kids. Like, But and it's funny, but it's how they are. It's how they process. And so use it to your advantage. They are A-okay with repeating it. As long as you make it applicable. You'll always know when it's boring and when you're not probing them, because they'll be like, oh God. Or if you're like, you're like, our kids are, they'll be like, oh my gosh, this again. We got some honest kids. That's our elementary director. Not again, please. And so, but if you're, I remember one day we have a song that we wrote, and I went in there, and I hadn't been in there before, but I went in there being me, which was childlike, and I made it fun, and I stopped and I explained it. And one of the volunteers was like, "What? They never listened to me. Why did they listen to you this one time you came in?" And I told her, I was like, maybe it's just, I made it fun. I made it applicable for them. If it's not applicable, they're not going to follow you. And so keep that in your mind. Another side note before I go to point four is I wrote, also kids and teens have a soundtrack going on in their heads and in their life at all times. Music is constantly in their ears. They may not remember a Bible verse or a sermon, but a song will come back to them when they need it. Kind of like I was saying with your love never fails. Like when in the moment, it's just music is all throughout their life. It's how they're growing up. And so don't be afraid to teach songs of substance. Don't be afraid to, and this goes into point four, but don't be afraid. This is one thing I know for me as a worship leader and as a youth director, I had to get over in certain contexts, because I used to be afraid to do the deep songs or the songs that had tons of substance to it. But what I realized I was doing was underestimating my kids and, in the end, cheating them out of this radical encounter that they could be having, because they understand a lot more than they give off. They won't show you that they're taking it in, and they won't show you that it's impacting them. Some of them will. But for the ones that look like they're a stone wall, they're hearing the words. And in fact, they probably look like a stone wall because it's impacting them. And they've grown up in a world that's told them not to show their emotions, and in a world that's told them not to respond. But in fact, it's hitting something. And so that's point four is I put Jesus is showing up regardless of the response. Know that he is showing up. Because at the end of the day, it really has nothing to do with us. Like, we could do all of the right things, but if Jesus, like, there's no Jesus then. There's nothing happening, because he's the only one that changes our hearts. And so even in the sets where it may seem like nothing is happening, You're singing truth over their lives. Jesus is in the room. Whether they realize it or not, he's probing their hearts, even when they don't realize it. You'll know it and they won't know it. You'll feel his presence in the room and just trust that he is God and he is doing his God stuff. That's what our executive pastor, he always says, God, come and do your God stuff. Know that God is in the room doing his God stuff, even if they don't know it. And I mean, how many of us know that? How many times has God been working and you didn't even realize he was working? And it's not till the end you're like, ooh, I see what you did there. Okay. It's the same thing with students. And so keep that in mind. Is anybody a worship leader for students? Worship leaders? I know you. Okay. Tell this to your worship leaders. But as a worship leader, it's easy to base how worship is going off of people's response. This is on Sunday morning, on adult congregation, but also in student ministry. It's so easy to be like, oh, they're just not engaging. This must be going horribly. Honestly, sometimes, depending on the church, it feels the same way on a Sunday morning, but it's not the case. I have this saying, as out of the entire service, I think worship leaders and the worship team, we step into people's lives more than anyone else. Because, and I would say even maybe more than the sermon, excluding ministry time, because we're stepping into your life and now we're asking you to respond and sing out through whatever's going on in your life. So I literally step right in the middle of what's going on in your life and I'm like, hey, do all this stuff. And they're working through whatever is happening. And so to keep that in mind, it's not that they're not engaging because they don't feel it or you never know what a kid's going through. There's been a couple, even in the recent times in our kids' ministry, we've found out things like after Sunday, it's the midweek, and all of a sudden we find out, oh, this kid went through something like absolutely crazy. And you wouldn't know that. And in the midst of this worship set, you're trying to get them to do something and engage, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to talk to their dad again. And so don't base your kids' worship experience off of their engagement. Base it off of your discernment of God's presence in the room. And kind of a sub-point off of that, and then I got one more, and then we can do a couple questions. Leading teens, leading kids, it's a journey. It's not a couple weeks thing, honestly. It's not a one. I mean, God can come and radically move in your ministry, and kids' lives can be transformed. But overall, it's a journey. Like I said earlier, be patient with them. Walk with them. All these points kind of build off of each other because in order to walk with them, you have to know them. So you just be, it's a pastoral ministry. You have to be able to just walk with them and you remind yourself that for some of them, you're teaching them this stuff. They're not getting it from home. They're not studying it on their own like some of us. We're teaching them to do that, but you're 1 to 2, maybe 3 times a week that you're with them, you're taking them on this journey. And you could be the only voice that they're hearing this truth from. This could be the only time that they're singing a song that does not have to do with drugs, sex, and money. And so be patient in that and walk with them. Walk with them through it, no matter how difficult it looks like or you're going to run into walls and obstacles, but you have to be faithful with it. When I came back from YWAM, this was 2013 maybe, jumped back into youth ministry, and then in the world of our church, you wear many hats, and so one of my other hats took more time. And then those kids that I was with in 2013 grew up, And some, like this guy right here, he was one of them, and now he's like a leader. I don't function well when he's not around. Seriously. He's like, did you set up this? Did you send this out? And I'm like, no, but I was testing you to make sure that you're. But there's so many guys like him that came to me. And honestly, I was younger, not. I mean, I'm young now, but I was like super duper young then and didn't have some of the knowledge and wisdom that the Lord has given me now. And so for some of it, I felt like I was just going through the motions. And I was like, I don't even know what they're getting out of this. I'm going to keep doing it because I love them dearly and I love you, Lord. And I'm just going to keep going. And then years later, I can think of more than I can count on my hands that are, they're all following the Lord, but they came back and they were like, oh my gosh, that one service where you stopped worship and you told us about whatever you were struggling with, or that one service you stopped and you told that story of the woman at the well and you made it applicable. For the first time, I understood it. And to me, it was like another service. And I didn't know. I was like, honestly, I didn't know you were listening. But they were like, no, I was. And it literally, it impacted me. Like, I use it. There was one kid who's now a worship leader. And he's like, I literally do exactly what you did. And I was like, what? What do you mean? He's like, I do it. Like, I stop. I explain it. Then the kids, they listen to me. And I'm like, okay. And so, but these guys, I promise you, if somebody would have asked me before these kids came up, I would have been like, I don't know. Hopefully they got something. But they did. They all got something out of it. And I know for me, I was like, every time, it still happens now, I'm like, oh my gosh, God, you are faithful. Even when I can't see it, I know that you are moving. As long as I stay faithful and do exactly what you told me to do, I pray about my sets and I sing them and I stop when Holy Spirit tells me in the middle of a set. If he tells me to explain something, I'll stop and I'll explain it and I just stay faithful to what he told me to do. And he did the rest of the work. And so, yeah, walk with him. Be patient. And then the last point is have fun. They need to see worship, it's not just this thing we do. Worship is fun. Whether it's an upbeat song or even a slow song, it's fun. It's a place where you can be yourself. It's a place where you can lay everything down. It's a place where every burden that you felt can literally be laid down and you're able to be free. There's not many places in our world now where they can do that. Just have fun with no boundaries. Where they can just have fun with no like, but don't do that because somebody will judge you. Have fun. Don't be yourself because we all hate when you do that one thing. Don't dance too much because worship is the place where they can go for it. So teach them to have fun in the midst of it. And then the last thing, practically, I just want to talk about song sets, because sometimes we were talking about it in there, and again, most things that go for adult congregations go for kids' congregations. You know, maybe when you're choosing song sets, to keep in mind, maybe if it's like Hillsong has a habit of doing really wordy songs, like dissertation, I have to start learning it a month in advance to get to know the song. But I love Hillsong, side note. But maybe depending on your students, and this is up to you guys, this is just a tidbit, depending on your group, once you get to know them, maybe you'll know if super wordy songs aren't for you guys. Maybe you just need to sing Set a Fire so that you set a foundation for them. No place I'd rather be. Here and you're like, maybe you just need to sing that. And some students, like the camp I went to, we could sing as many words and they're going with me. They're like, and he loves us and he rose from the grave, and then after, and they'll go. And so just know your students, and once you know your students, you'll know what your song set should be. Maybe you have a group of elementary kids and they're, like I said, they're maybe they're rowdy, and it's always super hard to get them down, and Maybe you don't have as many volunteers. Pick a super simple song, quiet them down, and say, we're going to sing this chorus. And maybe it's one chorus, and it has, like, two lines that you just keep repeating, and then you stop in the midst of that, you explain it, you make it applicable, and you go back into it. But when it comes, a lot of people always ask me that, like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to sing. But choose your song sets based off of your group, off of your kids, and that comes off of course, knowing them. Cool, yes, sweet. Anybody got questions? I got like 5 minutes, and then they're gonna start calling. So what I would do is, I am a fan of 2019 because they have the year 2019, because we have all these awesome instrumental worship videos, and maybe you have somebody who can sing along or kind of not sing along. Honestly, with students, I don't think it's not a big deal to them if you can sing it right on key or right on pitch. But if you throw that on and you say, guys, now y'all know I can't sing for real, but sing along with me so that you don't got to hear my voice over yours, you know, but it's funny, but it's real. And they'll recognize that you're being real, but you're saying, guys, we may not have a band, but I want you guys to learn worship. I want you guys to encounter God. I don't play an instrument either. So when I'm at home, I throw on this same video, and I worship to it. And so let's all learn how to do that. Throw the video on. You can sing along with it and make it applicable. If not, or maybe you have somebody, a volunteer, or for us, we have students sometimes that can sing along with it. You know, here's, you know, Katie, come, you sing. I'll stand next to you, but you got the vocal part, girl. And worship with it. And then you can pause it or let the video play and explain, and just kind of, I feel like more than a few months ago, because we kind of ran into the same thing at our youth group, and we realized our students aren't super, like, yes, it's attractive to have the big band and the haze and the lights that blind you and the lasers, and it's great, it attracts them. But at the end of the day, is that what really gets them? I would venture to say no. And I've done both. Back in, again, 2013, 2014, me and Liam, who is our executive pastor, but at the time was also our youth pastor. We had a youth group. We did it. We did the haze. We had 300 kids. We would do a New Year's bash that was over 800 kids. It's great. It's awesome. We had inflatables, lots of children, lots of BO. It was great. And they encountered the Lord. But then we have youth group where sometimes it's just me and my guitar. Or in our elementary ministry right now, we don't have a worship leader that goes in there, so we play the videos. And I think what they care about the most is one, that you're again being real, so don't try to fake it till you make it, like, oh, you know, we'll get somebody soon, but let's do this for now. No, just, guys, this is worship. Just as much as there's a band, this video right here, this is real worship, because worship at the end of the day has nothing to do with those instruments, has nothing to do with this. It's when we play this song and we encounter God. So let's sing out this chorus. Does that make sense? I've done a couple of things. There's one side of it where, for, again, back when it was like 200 to 300 kids, of course, we had the kids who were going for it, and you have the kids like on the back of the room that seem like they're like tethered to the wall, and they just don't leave the wall for some odd reason. And so sometimes I would stop the set. You can bet your money, your whole bank account, that I will walk off the stage at some point in my worship set, because I just do. So I unplug my guitar. So one thing I do is I I get off of my guitar and I go and I walk around the room. If there's kids on this wall, I'm like, guys, the Lord is here. And sometimes I love coming to church with my friends because we get to like hang out and talk and do whatever. But you know what's even more powerful than an encounter with my friend is an encounter with the Lord. And I make it real. And it's not in like a, hey, y'all, stop talking. I'm walking. I'm just kind of, I'm going by them. And 90% of the time, their phones are, as soon as I come, their phones are down. And they start, and they're like, okay. Or I'll say, maybe, again, this goes back to the being real. Because half of the time, the kids that are on their phones or they're talking with each other, one, either just don't have a grid for it, so they're just like, I'm just waiting for this thing to be over. Two, they're afraid to engage because maybe they don't know what their friends are going to think. Three, maybe they're going through something, and they're just like, I don't know what to do, and I'm not going to engage. And so it's not 100%, I would say, on the worship. You're going to need help. Like, I would get off the stage, engage them. And then, of course, maybe, what's the word? Engage your volunteers or maybe your youth pastor or your whoever to then go engage them after that. But as I know for me, as a worship leader, or if you're playing a video and that's happening, you can pause it and be like, hey, guys, one thing we do in our youth group, I coined this term, not right now. So oftentimes we'll be doing worship. We'll get to the second song. Kids are talking again. I'll stop again, and I'll say, guys, what's this moment? They all say, not right now. I'll say, what's this moment? Not right now. And for us, that just means if your friend's talking to you, just say, hey, not right now. Maybe you're somebody's blowing up your phone, and just go, not right now. And so maybe it's a term that I work with him, but maybe it's a term that you can use, or maybe it's a matter of just re-engaging them, not getting frustrated with them. Just re-engage them. They just need to be re-engaged. When they're in school, they do the same thing. It's when their parents are talking to them, they do the same thing. Now I know this more than anything because of all the children in my house. So it's not something that they're just saving for you. Don't be offended by it. It's a generation that they don't focus on something for very long. And so just re-engage them, however that looks for you. And then, of course, depending on your context, if it's a lot of kids, then you may need a volunteer to go stand over there and just kind of like, hey, guys, let's worship. We love Jesus. Those are nice shoes, but don't order them now. And so, yeah. Does that somewhat answer your question? Cool. One more. They haven't called me yet. Maybe they don't. Maybe they think I'm, like, so going. Yeah. The most significant thing I remember from my time in youth ministry? Oh, boy. Okay. So I was, like, the worst kid in my youth. I was really bad. Like, not enjoyable. I joke with Liam all the time. I gave him, if you see him, he's up in the booth. He might come on stage at some point. But he has lots of grace, and I would venture to say myself and one of our other youth campus pastors were like the two just trouble kids. Like, our parents would drop us off at Liam's house and be like, take her for the night, please. I'll come back. And so for me being literally a thorn in his side, he kept me as close as he possibly could. So, like, we had these trips. We would go to D.C. with this guy named Jason Hershey, who's a YWAMer up there. And even in the midst of me getting in trouble in school and doing all this stuff, he goes, Klee, you want to come to D.C. with me? They're like, what? No, for what? I wasn't saved. He's like, just hang out with me. It'll be fun. Just hang out. And so I would go, and literally every trip and at every moment, he would keep me near. And I don't think it's one moment that impacted me. It was his dedication to me aside from my troubledness. It's actually the whole reason I'm saved. He invited me on another DC trip. We went multiple times with this final one. I had actually just gotten in big trouble for something, and he convinced my mom to let me go with him to DC. And I went, and there was a YWAM team there. This is in short, but there was a YWAM team there. They were like, "Hey, you should come to this school." And I was like, "You want me to spend 6 months talking about God with people I don't know? It's a negative. No." it was literally like not anything I wanted to do. And Pastor David, he came up and gave a word this morning about Genesis. He was a pastor that came up and gave that word about Genesis. He was like, "Hey, you should pray about it." And I was like, "I don't know what you mean, but okay." And so I remember like it was yesterday. We were walking. The church was like right where that door is. So he walked back to the church, and I flippantly just said, "Lord, if you want me to go to the school, tell me by the end of the day." And I walked back to the church, and by the end of that, within the next 2 hours, somebody gave me a check from my school. They bought my plane tickets to and from the YWAM school. And then some dude walked up. It was an urban discipleship training school. And some dude walked up and prayed for me and said, "I see you going into," like, he had no idea. "I see you going into like this urban context, and you're going to get trained up." And I was like, "What the heck, bro? You couldn't have, like, I wasn't serious. What do you mean?" And so I went to YWAM after that, obviously, because you can't see. I can't not go. So I went to YWAM, got saved, came back, and here I am. That was a while ago. And so all that to say, if I didn't go on that trip, I don't know where I would be. But it's because my youth pastor chose to keep his most troubled kid the closest to him. And here I am now. So that would be my most powerful experience. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow, that's awesome. 4 years. Yep. It was awesome. Many, many different locations. Many, many. It's not until I got back and I was like, "Wait, you can like fit your stuff not all in a suitcase?" It was like my whole life fit in a suitcase until I moved back and I was like, "Oh, I can buy more things." Okay, cool, okay. but cool. I have to get to rehearsal that starts at 4. But I appreciate you guys coming to this session. Hopefully it helped, gave you some tools, gave you some little nuggets that you can use for your time in student ministry. Thank you.